Hey, this is Pastor Ryan. Thank you so much for joining us. I know God has a word for you today. I hope you really hear it deep down in your spirit. I pray you feel encouraged and inspired to keep chasing Jesus with all you've got. If you'd like to support the ministry of the Branch Church so we can continue to connect those far from God to the life-giving vine of Jesus Christ, you can do so at branch.church/give. Now let's get to the message.
God of the impossible. And we've been asking the question, do you believe that God wants to do the impossible in your life? Do you?
Yes.
Okay. So week one, talked about it may be your job to step out in faith, but it's God's job to do the impossible.
That's right.
We have to be willing to step out, but then God takes over and it's his job to do the impossible in our lives. And then week two, we learned that if we're going to encounter God of the impossible, we must first learn to practice being in the presence of God. We can't expect God to do impossible things when we aren't willing to step into his presence. Last week, week three, Pastor Ryan tried to reframe the question, do you believe that God wants to do the impossible in your life, to do you even want God to do the impossible in your life? We answered that question with, he can, he will, and he wants to.
Yes.
So today is Palm Sunday, and I want to lean into the most impossible story this week. I want to talk to you about the most impossible duo that you can find, faith and doubt. Okay, so I've learned over the years, and I have some of these, okay, almost everyone has some sort of irrational fear of something. Okay, my number one irrational fear, I mean, I think it's kind of rational, but it's snakes. I hate snakes. I'm not a girly girl. I'll touch the frogs and the lizards and the bugs, but I don't do snakes. They freak me out. I think it's because as a kid, I used to have this recurring nightmare that involved me falling into a pit of snakes. So there's that, but like, I hate snakes, y'all. Our youngest, he is not scared of anything. Like, he finds little, like, garden snakes in our, like, the back of our backyard. There's, like, a ditch, and he'll, like, find snakes, like, bring them up to the house. I had surgery one time, y'all. I was in pain in our bed, just, like, propped up, and Jet, our youngest, comes walking in with a dead snake, thankfully. Mom, look what I killed in the backyard, and I was like, get that thing out of my house and don't drip that blood on my carpet. Like, get it out. I don't do snakes. I think it's a rational fear. Like, they're dangerous, poisonous. Like, I see videos and I'm like, it freaks me out. Ryan loves to, like, send me videos that have snakes in them just to freak me out because he's a good husband like that. I also have probably an irrational fear of heights. Like, I get super shaky climbing a ladder. I don't know why. I'm not scared. Like, I love roller coasters. I've been skydiving, y'all. Like, I've done, like, crazy big tall things as long as I'm, like, strapped into something. I think it's the, like, freedom to move. And then, like, the high ropes courses stuff, like, I can climb up, but I get up there and I'm, like, frozen. Like, I can't do anything else. So, probably irrational fear of heights there. All right. Now, there's one that I'm not scared of, but I know there's a lot of people. Who in here is scared of clowns? Like, raise your hand if you're scared of clowns. I won't judge you. We got a few? Three? I think there's a few more that aren't raising their hand. I see some fingers pointing, okay? But I know there are a lot of people who are scared of clowns, which are supposed to be, like, fun kids' parties, right? Tight spaces, claustrophobic. I feel like sometimes I can get a little claustrophobic. I was talking to someone, trying to remember who it was. Oh, it was our friends from Oklahoma City. They were in St. Louis, and they were going to go to the arch and go up in the arch. I don't know if you've ever been there or seen that. But the little things that you ride in to get to the top of the arch, like, even if you're not claustrophobic, it'll make you feel claustrophobic. They're like, we just couldn't get in it. I was like, I get that. I've been in it. But it's really cool if you can make it to the top, I promise. All right, frogs. I have met so many people since we lived here that are scared of frogs. Kana is, yeah, I know. I think Miss Tam is too, if I remember right. Kyla, yeah, frogs. All right, and then needles. Like, y'all, the first time I had blood drawn without passing out was when I was pregnant with our oldest. And I have since passed out from having blood drawn. I used to pass out with every immunization. My mom would like warn them. They'd be like, oh, she'll be fine. I'd get the shot. And then I'd like, you know, one time I even like convulsed, like I was having a seizure when I passed out. So much fun, okay? All right, germs. I think COVID even made that worse, like over-sanitizing your hands to the point that they're like cracking, and then you've like killed your immune system because you've not allowed any germs to come into your life. Sitting with your back to the door in a room, like that's a fear of some people. Like literally, I know there are people, if I go into a restaurant or something, I know I'm gonna have to sit with my back to the door because they're not gonna do it. Airplanes. Like, I know there's some people that are, like, terrified of airplanes. Those are the fun ones when you sit next to a person that's, like, super terrified and you hit some turbulence. Never been easier to lead someone to Jesus, y'all. Like, never been easier, okay? But, so, while these are mostly irrational, I still stand by the fact that my fear of snakes is not irrational, okay? But while these are mostly irrational, we all do share real fears as well. Is there a purpose or a plan for my life? Where will I spend eternity? Is God truly in control of my life?
Yeah, that part.
What about doubts that I have about my faith? What about fear for my family, for my kids, for their futures? I love having conversations with people who are wrestling with issues of faith and doubt because everyone wrestles with doubt of their faith at some time in their life. But you see, in church, we've made doubt a bad word. I don't think it's if we have questions and doubts, but when, and then what we choose to do about it. But I love having these conversations with people. Pastor Ryan and I do often, and we've done our entire time in ministry, is encourage people to question their faith, which wasn't a super popular thing when we were in youth ministry. We had, like, our pastor was like, you can't teach the teenagers to question their faith. But you see, in questioning your faith, you find answers for yourself, and you gain an authentic walk with the Lord, not one that mirrors and mimics the people, like your parents or grandparents or the people who have displayed faith in your life. It's not just mimicking, it's finding for yourself. It's also not having faith based on skewed human bias and opinion. The problem is the capital C church, so the church as a whole, we haven't done a good job allowing room for doubt and discovery. But you see, doubt is necessary to belief. And really, the way I see it, there are three ways that doubt can go, okay? Because everyone's going to doubt at some point. And there's three ways it can go. The first is it goes in the way of hypocrisy. You maintain the appearance or the look of a Christian, but you don't truly believe in the product. You see, many people in church feel like they aren't allowed to wrestle with their doubts, so they decide to just put on a spiritual face. They know how to and when to raise their hand, like when the song says, I raise my hand, raise my hand. Okay? It's really easy to play church. I know because I did it for a while. Okay, then the second pathway of doubt, the second way that we see doubt is cynicism. You start to doubt, so you shut off your heart and your mind to the possibility of a loving, saving God, and you begin to rely on yourself. I'll find my own way. But then the third pathway of doubt, which is what we should all be doing and encouraging those around us to do, is the pathway of discovery. I have real questions, but I'm also opening my heart and my life to God. Because you know what? That's something that requires faith. So doubt and faith can coexist.
Yeah.
You see, when people are starting to doubt and question, it's those of us around that can't just tell them how it is. It's you tell them how to discover on their own who God is. Do you know how to discover on your own who God is?
His word.
His word?
Prayer.
Prayer? Worship? Fasting? Those are all spiritual disciplines that help you discover who God is. So the gospel message of Jesus, three things you need to know, is it does require faith. It does not exclude pain and suffering. But it does give us hope for eternity. So in order to understand Easter, what happened 2,000 years ago on a Sunday, we must also know what happened on Friday and Saturday. John 19, 1 through 3. John 19, 1 through 3. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again. We're just going to switch over.
The red mic.
Again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they slapped him in the face. Jesus went to the cross and died the most humiliating and painful death imaginable. You see, Friday represents the day of suffering, pain, and agony. You can't understand Easter and the resurrection if you don't get the gravity of the cross and death. You can't understand Sunday without Friday. So you can't understand the resurrection without the death. The cross is beautiful to most of us because of what it represents, what Jesus paid for our sins. But if you were standing there that day, it was the ultimate symbol of suffering and pain. Jesus tells us in Matthew 16:24 to take up your cross and follow him. You see, if you choose to follow Jesus, you will face moments of suffering, pain, and agony. The Bible doesn't tell us that it's all going to be sunshine and rainbows. You might say, "Pastor, that's difficult to swallow. I don't know that I want to sign up for that." But hang with me, okay? Because you can't just stop at the cross. You can't stop at Friday. Then came Saturday, the day after Jesus' death. There was confusion. In John 20, we get a description of the women coming to weep at Jesus' tomb. His followers and disciples are still in shock that their Messiah was now dead. They didn't understand what God was doing. It seemed hopeless, and everyone was confused. Our teacher, our Savior, the Messiah, is dead in the grave. John 20:19, on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. So Saturday represents a day of doubt, confusion, and misery. What am I supposed to do now? What just happened? What am I supposed to make of all this pain, suffering, and confusion? But you can't just stop at Saturday. Then you get to Sunday, Resurrection Day. Sunday represents a day of hope, joy, and victory. And here's a little reality of life. You will face these 3 days over and over and over in your lifetime. You must continually answer some questions in your life. The first one is, what do I do in my days of pain? What do I do in my Fridays?
Good question.
And then the second one is, how do I get through my days of doubt and confusion?
Yep.
Your Saturday. And the third one is, how do I get to the days of joy and victory? Your Sunday. You see, we all face things. We all face things. But the answer to all of these questions is Easter, the resurrection. You see, Jesus died on the cross for each and every one of us, so that when we face our Fridays and Saturdays, we have hope in our Sundays. Before Jesus died, he prepared his disciples for the realities that they were going to face in life. John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Yep. Jesus tells us we're going to face hard things. There will be some Fridays and Saturdays. There will be death, illness, and bad things that happen to good people that we may not ever understand. But make sure that you understand what happened on Sunday. In 1 Corinthians 15:54, is where we're starting. Paul is talking to the Corinthian church, and he says, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is saying here, death no longer has mastery over us. Death no longer has the final say, and we don't mourn death like those with hope, or with no hope. Sorry, missed that word there. We don't mourn death like those with no hope. You see, if you don't understand the pain and suffering and confusion of Friday and Saturday, you can never fully understand the joy of Sunday.
So good.
The reason that Easter is so amazing is that Friday and Saturday were so horrible. The reason we rejoice in the resurrection is that we have understood and experienced the death. The reason we celebrate the hope of eternity is because we are aware that because of our sin, we deserve death. But because of Sunday, because of the resurrection, we have life. Why is it that as the church, we can lock arms, and even in the face of disease, tragedy, suffering, and death, and not be in despair, not be people without hope? But then, when tragedy strikes us personally, we lose sight of that hope.
It's hard.
You see, in order to experience life, you must first experience death.
That's a good word.
To find your life, you must lose it. If you want to experience resurrection power, you must first experience death. So, this is super confusing and very churchy language, okay? But the word calls us to die to ourselves and our fleshly desires and our wants, and to walk in life through Jesus. We all face everyone, okay? I just shared, Pastor Ryan and I are not even, you know, immune to facing hard things. We all face Fridays and Saturdays. That Sunday in June, that hit me hard. That was a Friday. It turned my world upside down. I didn't know what to even think. I couldn't wrap my head around it. I was in pain. I was in some suffering. And as I found out more, there was a lot of anger and agony too. Then there came Saturdays, days of doubt, confusion, and misery. And some days I'm still in that. It's the same thing with losing Ryan's mom. That was pain, suffering, and agony, and anger. And there's still days of doubt, confusion, and misery from it. With everything I've walked through here lately, you know the person that I've wanted to pick up the phone and call the most? My mother-in-law. You know how many times I have cried over not being able to pick up the phone and call my mother-in-law to hear her? I mean, she was just the most, like, animated person, but she loved the Lord fearlessly. So there have been days of doubt, confusion, and even misery. But you see, at the end of it all, I know what Jesus did for me. And I know that I have the hope of heaven.
Right.
I don't mourn with those that don't have the hope of heaven. And so I count it all victory, knowing that I will get to see my mother-in-law someday. And I count it all victory that I trust God in His timing. You see, we face enough in life, enough hard things, hard times, enough Fridays and Saturdays, that I know Sunday is coming. Yeah. I know that someday I can look back on those Fridays and Saturdays and I can see His victory over it all. And I can see His presence in every moment. And I can see His hands holding me up and leading me and guiding my feet when I don't even know which way is up. Because of Resurrection Sunday, I have hope. Because of Resurrection Sunday, I have peace. Because of Resurrection Sunday, I know that there's victory.
Right.
I know that I can trust God. You see, in order to experience life, you must first experience death. To find your life, you must lose it. You have to let it go. That's what salvation is. It's letting go of your earthly desires. It's letting go of the ways of the world. And it's choosing to walk with Jesus. And that's, we have an opportunity for baptism. And this is a just perfect time to plug that, okay? So the Bible commands us, God's word commands us to be baptized in water. You have that opportunity on April 7th. But in baptism, you go under the water, and it's symbolic of death to yourself, the old you, your old way of life. And when you come out of the water, it's symbolic of resurrection. The resurrection life that we get through Jesus, new life. A baptism is a reenactment of the gospel. It's symbolic of the life of Jesus. It's our declaration that we've chosen to follow Jesus, and it's following in His footsteps because Jesus Himself was baptized in water.
Right.
So maybe God's stirring in you that it's time to declare, like, I'm dying to my old self, and I'm rising up new in Christ. And what a better, there's not a better way to do it than through baptism, which is your public declaration of your faith. Worship team, I'm going to have you come on up. But Friday represents a day of suffering, pain, and agony. So the question you ask is, what do I do in my days of pain? Well, what you do is you lean into the Word. You lean into prayer. Lean into worship. You lean into fasting. You lean into people that God has placed around you to point you in the right direction. Because let me tell you, if someone in your life ain't pointing you to Jesus, they're not for you. Saturday represents a day of doubt, confusion, and misery. How do I get through my days of doubt and confusion? The same way you get through your Fridays. Prayer, worship, fasting, time with God in His Word, the people that God has placed in your life that are going to point you to Him. And then Sunday represents a day of hope, joy, and victory. So how do I get to the days of joy and victory? Staying faithful in your Fridays and Saturdays. In the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the heart of Christianity, does it just give you a temporary emotional lift from your everyday problems? If so, you've not truly experienced resurrection life.
Yeah.
Is your walk with Jesus just your way to get a happy ending, your ticket out of hell? You've really not experienced true resurrection life. Is the gospel message just a way to make you feel happy at funerals? That you have reassurance that your loved one is in heaven and you're going to see them again? If that's the only time you're hearing the gospel message, you haven't truly experienced resurrection life. You see, resurrection life is that Jesus came, walked among men, was faced with everything, every trial that we could ever face, yet remained sinless. He was tortured and punished and died a horrific death for each and every person in this room. On our worst days, I think of my worst days, and man, I don't know how someone could love me that much. But on your worst day, and I know that, like, there's people that question this whole thing. They're like, this is theatrics and guilt and a way to make you, y'all, I've heard it all, okay? A way to make you join this cult of a church, or a way to get you to give. I'm guilting you into giving right now. No, that ain't it. You see, we, at the end of the day, like, that's between you and God. What I care about is your soul and your eternity. And if I were to stand up here and give you anything but the message of the Word of God, that God sent His only Son to die on the cross for us, that's a resurrection story. That's a story of Easter. What we're about to celebrate is that God gave His Son, walked among men, and died for you and me. And when I think about that, y'all, I have boys. I would die for them, but I wouldn't even send them to die for me. So salvation is to find your life. You must lose it and let it go. And y'all, this world we live in has more distractions than ever before. Distractions are literally at our fingertips every moment of every day. We have to continually choose life over death. And you see, to die to yourself and to the world is to have eternal life. That's the kind of life that I'm talking about. And that life is so much greater than anything that you could ever do on your own. So today, I want you to think about what season you're in. Are you in a Friday season? Have you just been blindsided and you're in suffering and pain and agony? Are you in a Saturday season? You're in a season of doubt and confusion and misery, or just not knowing what's next or where to go? Or maybe you're walking in a Sunday season where you see the hope and the joy and the victory of God in your life. But we all go through a cycle of those, each one of those seasons. Because in this world, you will face trouble. So I want us to find ourselves where we're at. Be honest with yourself. If you're married, maybe you want to, like, talk to your spouse about it. Or maybe if your kids are here, maybe you want to talk to them. And y'all, we're honest with our kids. We're really transparent. We've found that that's important to us. And so I want to encourage you, even or your friend group or whoever, and if you're by yourself, find someone that you can be honest with and just say, hey, I'm in this season right now. You can share with them why or how or what, but you Or you can just say, this is where I'm at. I'm in a Saturday season right now. I'm through the hardest part, but I'm not to the victory yet. And we're going to pray together. We're going to believe together, because I don't know where I'd be without my church family. The people who have walked with me by my side through all of this. So if y'all will stand, Mr. Taylor, will you pull the lights down for me? Before we go into any prayer, though, I have to ask, did you fall into the category of maybe you're just here because someone drug you here? Maybe you have no idea what I'm talking about. Maybe you go to church just because it gives you a temporary emotional lift from your everyday problems. Maybe you just come to church and you accepted Jesus because you want a happy ending, but you're not walking out your day-to-day life in full surrender to Him. I want to give you that opportunity. And so when you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, that's your private personal declaration. And then water baptism is the next step, your public declaration. And so I'm going to ask everyone to close their eyes and bow their heads. And this morning, if you're thinking, man, I've never accepted Jesus truly, or maybe I have, but I didn't understand the full weight of it, and I'm ready to walk forward in that, I simply want you to just lift your hand. And we're gonna pray a simple prayer. See you. Okay. So we're gonna just pray a simple prayer together. And I want everyone to repeat after me. We had someone raise their hand, and we want to walk with them in that, and we want to celebrate with them. And so if you'll just repeat after me. God,
thank you
for sending your son,
to
die on the cross,
so that I can be forgiven,
and that I can walk with hope. That I can know that you are the Lord and Savior of my life. Forgive my sins.
Help me
to want to know you more.
Help me
to die to myself. And to walk in life through you. Your name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's celebrate.
All right. Yeah.
Well, there's nothing greater than knowing that you've surrendered your life to God. And we all mess up. We all go through seasons of trial and hard times. But Jesus gave us the gift of salvation. And forgiveness, and He gives us a body of believers, our church family, to help hold us up in those times, to help carry us through. And so now what we're going to do is we're going to get in those prayer groups like I talked about, and we're going to be honest about where we are. What day of the week are we in? Are we in a Friday, a Saturday, or a Sunday? And we're going to join together in prayer. So get with someone that you feel comfortable praying with, and if you're not with someone, we'll come find you, okay? All right, so let's get together in prayer groups, and we're going to pray over where we're at.
My little group over here, we're all in like Fridays or Saturdays. Is anybody actually in a Sunday right now? I know it's physically Sunday, but do we have any mountaintop people, you're just like, you're winning all the time. This is like normal life. The transparency that Amanda and I have whenever we're up here and we have the honor of preaching the word, I hope you don't take that for granted. Like, we want you to know we're just people too. And lately, things have felt like we've been experiencing death. Can I tell you a secret though? That's a good thing. Because Sunday's coming.
Amen.
I hate it when I walk through a Friday. I hate it when you walk through a Friday. Saturday comes and we're confused and annoyed and just tired. But Sunday's still coming, church.
That's right.
That's the hope of the gospel. That's the beauty of chasing Jesus. That when we finally catch him.
Yeah, come on.
There's hope everlasting. There's joy. There's peace everlasting. That's the beauty of chasing Jesus. So I am sorry about your Fridays. I hate it. My heart breaks when I hear about a Friday or Saturday season. Sunday's coming, church. Sunday's coming. Speaking of Sunday, next Sunday, Easter Sunday, Jesus is coming back to life again, okay? He's on like year 2020, like the 2024th time, whatever, he's coming back to life again. Easter's going to be a great day. I hope you all can come back and worship with us and celebrate what God is doing. I just love y'all. Well, hey, y'all know how we like to do it. At the end of every service, we like to say something that really drives home who we are in response to who he is. You ready?
Yes.
All right. So Jesus said, I'm the vine.
We are the branch.
So everywhere you go,
be the branch.
Be the branch. God bless you.